Tom Woods Show, episode 887.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, everybody, if you don't yet have my free ebook, Five Paths to an Online Income, you are missing out. This is a how-to guide, how to podcast, how to self-publish a book, how to monetize a blog, and so much more. So it's a how-to guide, and it's also a how-to monetize guide. It's both. Check it out at pathstoincome.com. Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here. Eric July is back on the show, and I couldn't be happier. I've had Eric on before, and just before that appearance, I was, of course, told what a great guy he was. He's a musician and he's a libertarian. And, you know, I've sort of heard that story before. He's a such and such, and he's also a libertarian. And you talk to the person, and it's sort of like, I'd like to smoke some pot, and maybe taxes are 5% too high, and that makes him a libertarian. I think we're so desperate to discover people who are libertarians. If they're celebrities, we just drop the bar way, way low. But with Eric, you can keep that bar as high as you want because he is going to scale it every single time. He is a hardcore Rothbardian. I mean, there ain't no getting around that. And his band, Backwords, which is B-A-C-K-W-O-R-D-Z, has got an album out now called Veracity that you are just not going to believe. Will you see the song titles on this thing? It is amazing. And it's great stuff. It's not like you have to treat them like a charity case. Well, they're libertarians, so we got to go out and support them. To that, you know, enough of that. We've heard enough of that. How about libertarians produce good quality stuff and we'll just go buy it anyway? So Eric's a great guy. He's published on a variety of libertarian websites. In fact, he's been urging me to be interviewed by him, and it's just been a matter of things have been crazy around the Woods household for the past few weeks, but we're going to make that work. Anyway, we're waiting to hear about how his album is going to do on the Billboard charts, if you can believe that. And I was hoping to have that information by the time I got this intro part of the episode out to you, but I got to get the episode out. It's I got a long, crazy day today, so I will update you in the future, maybe on tomorrow's episode, which, by the way, tomorrow's episode is also pretty darn hot. But I'll talk to you about that after I talk to Eric July. So here we go. Eric, welcome back.
Hey, Tom, how you doing, brother?
I could not be better. I am so, well, I could be better if they weren't bombing Syria, but other than in terms of the guest I'm talking to right now, I am so excited about your success. We have a lot of people in the libertarian movement who are trying to do a lot of things, and some of them work and some of them don't, but it seems like what you're doing is working like crazy. This album, Veracity, is, I mean, it's selling like crazy. We're going to talk about that in just a second. And as this is airing, it's Monday, April 10th, which is when we'll get some information about the Billboard charts. And so maybe in my intro to this episode, I will already have told people how it's doing. But anyway, it's super great. But I'll tell you, the thing that I've heard the most about this album from people is that they say, you know, I ordered it because I wanted to help the cause. And then I listened to it, and it's so good that, of course, I would have wanted to order it anyway. Now, that's what you want to hear.
Right. I think that's the biggest one that we heard. We got a lot of support initially. I think that's why the sales kind of went up, because there's a lot of people. Big shout out to them. They wanted to just support the cause and, you know, with the message that we're kind of hammering home. But then people realized, like, the production quality and stuff, like, this is legit. Like, this wasn't anything that this is something that could have been put out on any major label or anything. It would have been a solid record top to bottom. So I think that is what increased the support, was that, you know, not only did we have the message that people were just waiting for and the consciousness the people were waiting for in music, but the fact that, you know, again, it was we put in a lot of time, spent a lot of money, really just making sure that we didn't want to half-tail this. We wanted to make sure that this was something that was going to be professionally done and sounded good. It was quality, and this was the result. And the support has been awesome, but even more so, just to hear that kind of reception from people that are saying, like, man, like, this is you know, the cause, yeah, but this is a solid album is, you know, the reason why we do it.
Yeah. I'm listening to it in my headphones and it's just top quality. You're right. It does not sound like it's not amateur at all. It is top notch. I thought, wow, these guys are great. I'm so glad about that. Now, I want you to talk about the theme of the album, because there is rather a theme running through these songs. Right. And I've got some particular lyrics I'd like to pull out a little bit later. But tell people who haven't seen the album yet what the message is.
Right. Well, you know, we're obviously libertarians. We're kind of, you know, we're anarcho-capitalists. But I wanted to try to implement other aspects, not just on a social end, but the economic end, obviously, as well. So which is why you get those hints of kind of, you know, Austrianism in there with the songs, that interlude we have called So to Speak, which is a shout out to Hopper. But we actually have a song called Praxeology. And I'm literally in that song, you know, really breaking down, you know, the dangers of like Keynesianism and central planning and stuff like that. So but from top to bottom, I mean, we pop the song, like, you know, aside from the intro song itself, Pop It Off is just really kind of getting you warmed up. But the second track, which is technically the first band track, Individualism, sets the tone for the entire record, because it is talking about succeeding all the way to the individual and, you know, acknowledging the individual over the collective and stuff like that. So it's very liberty-minded, but we made sure that we executed it in a way to where if you're listening to this and maybe you don't know any of what I'm talking about, you're at least gonna listen to it and try to at least, you know, go out of your way to maybe research some of the topics that we're talking about. So it's almost to create conversations out of it, and it works, because I mean, we can go on YouTube, and I'm always funny because I see the comments and other people's videos. The comments are always like, hey, this song is good, but in ours it's always people arguing about about the topics, and that's awesome to
yeah
me.
Yeah, that is great. Now I want to make sure everybody caught the thing you said about So to Speak. Yeah, there is this interlude and it's called So to Speak. And I thought, okay, that's obviously a tribute to Hoppe. So I asked you and you said, yeah, that was kind of your idea. And then the fact there's a song called Praxeology. I mean, you gotta be kidding me, man. I mean, that's unbelievable. Now, there's a part of, you know, there's gotta be a part of you that worries that if you do too much of this, it gets too preachy and you're hitting people over the head. How do you feel like you're able to avoid that?
Well, we have the benefit of having a lot of, you know, the talent within this band to keep it fresh. So us being, you know, the benefit of, not of also of that, but of the scene as well. The scene itself, metal hardcore, kind of got a little stale. People were singing about the same stuff and talking about the same stuff. And really, we just stuck out like a sore thumb because we stood for something. And but the style in itself is what we have at our benefit, which keeps it fresh. So, which is why you hear songs like Attic, which is like an R&B song, you know, or you got Set Us Free, which is the last track on the album, which is a ballad, essentially talking about my faith and Alex's, you know, faith on that song. And it showed just the diversity of this band. And obviously me as a, you know, rapper, a screamer, you know, singer. So we have the benefit. And that's what you have to do. It's like, if I was making the same exact songs, then it would get old really, really fast. But because we, from a style standpoint and just talent base in this band, we're able to keep it fresh. So even we can talk about a wide range of topics, but if we switch it up here and there and kind of deliver it differently, it sounds, that's the benefit of music in itself, is that it does have that kind of emotional attachment to it. So I can be maybe saying some of the same things, but if I package, you know, I packaged it on a hardcore tip, and then I maybe packaged it on a R&B track or a flat out rap track, it's different. You know what I mean? So that's the benefit, and that's the key. That was the key with the album itself. It has 18 tracks. So we have to keep your attention some type of way. And you can see that the styles just to kind of go from one way to another. And this is why in the first song, I encourage people to don't try to worry about slapping us in genres, because you know, you hear the album and you might hear a song that's completely different from the one you listened to before.
Right. By the way, just in case people are wondering, can they, you know, can kids listen in? Is there any bad language on it?
Nope, that's purposely the case. Like in my music, I do not cuss in my my music. You know, the worst word that we said was hell.
Okay.
You know what I mean? On the record, there's no parental advisory sticker on, and that's on purpose, because definitely considering some of the topics that I feel are important, and a lot of our fans, we got a lot of fans that are on the younger side, just because of the scene that we're in, and I want parents and I want everybody to be able to feel like they're definitely, those liberty minded folks are feeling like they are doing some good when they slide this to their child or something like that.
Right, right. Good. Now, do you have the lyrics in front of you? Like, are you able to call them up on your computer?
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely. You may have them memorized by now. I don't know.
Absolutely.
But yep. There's a couple of passages. I wonder if you could not sing, but would you mind reading them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
I can pull some of these up. No problem. And like the big ones, like Praxeology, which seems to be one of the favorites on this album. And going through some of those lyrics.
Well, let me pick out a couple that jumped right out to me.
Go ahead.
First of all, in the Statism song,
Statism, mm-hmm.
You've got a passage in there where you're basically saying, and it's the one that starts, "Look, it ain't really hard to keep up." Can you?
Right.
Like to hear that one, because it's that's hardcore.
It ain't really hard to keep up. The politician hypnotize you with free stuff, more and more statism, and y'all people just eat up. You're crying and you're protesting about how the police sucks. And I say, y'all don't get no sympathy from me, because that's the bed that you made, so you have to lay. You're more inconsistent by the day, making mistake after mistake after mistake. And, you know, that next part that a lot of people loved was when I'd said, at some time, you got to realize the same crap that you despise might be your demise. And I'd advise that you become more knowledgeable on subjects like economics that benefit, not memes on the internet. So, you know, that whole entire, that was the second verse of that song. And that's what I was trying to bring. Obviously, the first track was talking about statism really itself, what it is and why it's bad and why the cling to it is dangerous. But we don't really hear, definitely in our genres, we don't really hear people talk about the individual and what they have done to maybe stimulate some of these issues that they go around crying about. I got tired of hearing so many songs about people, police brutality and all of these things. And I'm like, well, but who's talking about, okay, that aspect of you're protesting, but in the same, you know, at the voter booth, you would, you know, go out there and go support some person that wants to expand the government openly. You know, a lot of these people that protest is a leftist, definitely in these genres. And they're the main ones talking about police brutality, but also the main ones that want to expand government and think they should be just about in every aspect of our lives. So that has to be talked about. And I felt that was missing. And that's why I felt it was appropriate to put in that song, like statism.
Well, and the very last part of, let's see, of self-ownership.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing about, again, talking about a cop shooting a black man.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, look, you're the same people who have no problem at all handing these people, giving them your confidence, handing them all this power, expecting to get something other than this. But
right.
This is what you're going to get.
Absolutely. No, that's what that, we had the music video with it. And we tried to capture that, you know, kind of moment and powerful moment in which we had a you know, person that works for the government, and he got fed up. He saw the corruption in it itself. And then he went to talk to a bunch of protesters. And that was the he basically recited my lines. And that's what it was. You know what I mean? And basically saying that, you know, you know, people go protest and they focus on racism and all of this, but they have no idea, you know, how silly it is when and how much it is really an example of Stockholm syndrome, because these are the same people that they expect to have this power. I have no problem with them having the power itself. But the minute somebody, you know, that wields it does something, I guess they consider bad, here they go crying. But again, they don't acknowledge that the issue itself is that position of power. And that's what we were trying to portray in that last kind of, you know, the most powerful portion of that track was me kind of doing that rap and whatnot. And that's what we were trying to portray, just to get people to think about those aspects, that a lot of this protesting is often silly, because some of what they do and what they advocate is diametrically opposed to whatever cause they call themselves trying to bring about.
I want to talk about track 13 for obvious reasons in a minute, but first let's talk about sales. Mm-hmm. I just want to know about sales ranks, because I've been following this, and mm-hmm. you guys have been ranked pretty high on Amazon, for example,
right,
and also on iTunes. So you guys have high hopes for what's to come this week.
Right. And, you know, we are doing good right now. We have like number two album on hard rock and metal albums on Amazon as we recorded this. Now that's going to go down and up, and same with iTunes, definitely, because now we're entering into another week, which so other people release their, I mean, this is their first day, you know, debut week. And that's obviously when you're going to sell the most. And we have floated in the top on Amazon. We've been in the top five consistently. But on the, you know, iTunes, we've kind of bounced between, been as high as like three, bounced between the three and nine spots. So we've been in the top 10. So the chart is always Billboard, of course. So we're trying to see how high we're going to get on that, because what we're doing is unprecedented. Essentially, this is a self-release. And we kept a lot of this in-house. We don't have nearly the resources of a lot of these bands that we, you know, we released the same week as like Mastodon and, you know, Demon Hunter. These are bands that have been around for forever and have massive fan bases. And for us to just even be in the conversation says a lot about our supporters. But we have high hopes. At first, I don't want to say we didn't have high hopes, but you got to understand, this was a self-release, right? And this is also our debut album. So we were like, you know, going into the pre-orders, and I'm like, yeah, if we do 500 pre-orders, that's okay. But as they first started coming in, I'm like, well, wait a minute, you know, this is getting, we creamed that by like the second week, you know, and we're like, that we announced the album. It's like, okay, this is for real. And, you know, next thing you know, we've hit our 2000 pre-order mark. And then it's like, at that point, it sets in like, something special is about to happen, and we can't wait. The Billboard charts, you know, we're in this Monday, you know, the Billboard charts, you know, will be out, and it's going to be special to see where we landed on not just that one, like the hard rock charts, but also like the Heat Seekers, because we are new artists. So the bands I like mentioned, like Mastodon and Demon Hunter, they won't be on that chart. We will. So it's going to be interesting to see where we land, and if we maybe get like a top three position on like new artists. Like, that's huge in itself, let alone, I mean, what we can do on the hard rock charts, which is what we're all waiting on.
Yeah, that's really exciting stuff. I have a sense of who your political and intellectual influences are, but mm-hmm. who would you describe as your musical influences?
Ooh, man, now that's a good one. I grew up, my mother, she listened to just about everything, obviously, from the 70s, you know, 60s, Motown music to 70s, you know, going into soul artists like Bill Withers and all those guys. So I grew up on that. But I also grew up in, you know, in the 90s where you had that new Jack Swing era of and it's a lot, even though that's more rap and R&B, it's a lot of that crosses over into rock. Elements, definitely as far as what we're trying to do, when you got a little rap here, a little singing here, and it gets a little aggressive here. But I remember 1998, mother had a cassette of Lauryn Hill's Miseducation album, and I remember hearing that, and it was hearing that, and I knew I wanted to be in music. I was in a, you know, like the kids choir up until then at church and stuff. But I heard that album and I knew I wanted to do music, because she was doing something. She had mixed those gospel elements into what she was doing, but she was rapping and singing. And not only that, she was doing it with a message that was important, you know, behind it. So, you know, I heard that and I was like, man, this could really, you know, this could really be done. And again, having the benefit of a mother that, you know, will listen to and everything. And I picked up on that. And also growing up in an era, like, if you realize what albums were dropping, like between like 97 and like 2002, just that block alone, how many artists that we see as greats and albums that we see as greats dropped between then. I mean, that was when Lauryn Hill, that's a diamond record, you know, Hobbit Theory by Linkin Park. Eminem had just dropped his, you know, Slim Shady LP, and you had System of a Down and all these guys. Rage were kind of on the latter half of what they were doing, Rage Against the Machine, latter half of what they were doing in the 90s as well. So it was so much music that I was able to consume during that time. But if it was one album that I could point to and I said, all right, this is why I want to do music, it had to have been Lauryn Hill's Miseducation album. I believe that was like 98 when that came out.
Is everybody in your current band a libertarian?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Everybody. The most vocal ones, obviously, being myself and Alex. Those guys aren't as like the instrumentalists aren't as vocal about the topic. But yeah, we're all libertarians, and that's what makes this so much easier to do to speak about what we speak about, because we already went in with this game plan when we were drawing out this kind of blueprint 2 years ago, before we had a little more than 2 years ago, before we had even announced that we were going to be an actual band. So it made that process of working our way into talking about stuff like this very, very easy.
By the way, before I forget, is there one place that if people order the album, you guys do the best? Like, would you prefer that people get it from a particular source?
Yeah, if you go to backwards.merchnow.com, that's backwords.merchnow.com, that you can get the physical copies of the album, but you can also get cool little shirts and bundles and whatnot with it. So I would say go there. With this being a debut, I'm satisfied. I'm not going to be angry at anybody that gets it from iTunes or Google or Amazon or stuff like that, because that's really the focal point. Is really because first week sales and all of that stuff really determines what a band is going to, the opportunities that you're going to get. And understand with us and our message, why it's even double important is because we have gotten a lot of grime. It's an establishment involved in music, and they're all leftists.
Yeah.
So you can imagine the amount of like tours and stuff. We're bigger than a lot of artists that get put on these tours or stuff like that. And it's because I've said something like I wanted to defund Planned Parenthood or something like that. And Planned Parenthood works with a tour or something like that.
And
then it's like, oh, screw those guys. So we have an establishment that we're working against. So the plan is, and what we have to do is essentially get so big that they can't ignore us, which is kind of what's happening right now when you see how we had basically little to no press surrounding this album. And we are about to, our first week sales cream guys that are on bands that or labels that are way more massive than have more resources than we would ever, and than we have right now, because we're choosing to keep it independent. So it's even more important for us to, do really well. So at this point, with it being the debut, maybe it's a little different when you're talking about second or third album, but at least on a debut, if long as it's a legitimate purchase, go get it.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm curious about the way they calculate this, because I would think it's analogous with books, that I could make more money if I have people order the book through me, but I don't think it counts toward my sales, like for a bestseller list. And likewise, if they order through your merchandise store, does that count toward the Billboard charts the way an Amazon sale would count?
Yes, it does. If they got it from us, it's a little different in terms of how we have to report it. We can still get like sound scan to count it, but it's a little different if like we sell it at a show or somebody wants to come to me and buy it. But that's specifically why we went with this particular company, Merch Now, distribute it, because they report straight to SoundScan. So that means that anything that we sell on there is going to go directly to counting towards Bill. That's specifically why we went to him, because we knew that was a possibility that we would want a lot of people that wanted to get physical copies. So we needed to go with somebody that we knew the reporting was going to be, legitimate. And that's why we went with him.
Track 13 on Veracity is called Democracy Sucks. I would like your comment, please.
Yes, it absolutely sucks. And it features a Canadian friend of mine by the name of Lauren Babick. She's in a band called Red Handed Denial. And that's her singing on the first on the two verses. And I'm rapping after her and whatnot. And it was so fun to record. Because we did a little different style. Like, there's no screaming or anything in that song, for example. And we played around with it a lot, but the lyrics itself, it speaks for itself. And the dangers of democracy and how people are essentially willing to sell themselves, sell their lives away for the kind of false sense of security and stuff like that. And Lauren, I didn't write her parts for, by the way, and she killed it with some of her lyrics, and it lets you know how much she feels us. And I can imagine with her being in Canada, she's seeing some statism of her own. And she talked about some of those aspects and her perspective as well. So it was a song that we all got to do a little different, something different on the instrumental. But, like the subject matter itself is a very important one, if not one of the most important ones on the record.
And then following that is another one that, whose title is quite blunt. Utopias Don't Exist.
Yep, that is was our technically our first single that we released. We announced the so it lets you know how much changed because we announced that the album Veracity in like 2015. Like September, I believe, it was September 2015. And that was a song that we kind of popped it off with. And a lot changed that we had to push it all the way back to now. And it's just now releasing almost 2 years after the fact. But it's because, like, so much it changed. But that song was, like, the first one in which we dove, like, really head first into the the anti-politics of this all. And I think that was around the time when there was a lot going on with, you know, the Freddie Grays of the world. And, you know, and it was a lot of racism cries and stuff like that. And I was really, really frustrated. And you can tell in the second verse, you know, and in which I talk about how, you know, these people, and we actually talked about this in another song. I can't remember the professional protest, the same exact element, how a lot of these people that are in these communities, whether it be gang members and stuff like that, who, you know, and I used to be one of those, essentially terrorize their own cities, and they get absolutely little to no pushback from people that will go around protesting. It's you know, and that's what I was talking about, and how, you know, we don't really value a life that's black. And I don't like the fact that the only time that, you know, a black life matters is when a cop you know, doesn't. And me being a person that's anti-statism, that doesn't sit well with me, just because it was a cop or he was in some illegitimate position and he shot somebody. Like, definitely if I feel that position is illegitimate, how am I going to overreact over that, opposed to somebody, you know, catching some 4-year-old in a crossfire and not get upset with that person? There's a lot of gang members, man, a lot of gangs in itself. And that's a completely different conversation that mimic the state in terms of how they approach you, like turf. And, it's a territorial kind of monopoly on decision making in a lot of cases. And they mimic a lot of aspects of the state. And I talk about just that aspect, and utopias don't exist in that second verse. But it was such an important track because it kind of launched us into really talking about the anti-politics side of our music.
You know, I'm looking at your I Googled you and found out your age, because I figured, yeah, let me see if I can in a sneaky way find out his age without having to ask.
Yeah.
And you were born the year I graduated from high school. Like, that's just not right, man. That is just right.
It's so crazy. So many people find out that I'm technically like still a kid, and like it blows their mind, because people thought I was, you know, I'm well into my 30s or something like that.
Well,
the
beards always make it hard to guess ages.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, that is very true. But yeah, no, I'm still a kid, man. I just had to, you know, positives and it's a negative side to it as well. But I was doing a lot of adult stuff that I shouldn't have been doing, you know, at a very young age. So I had a lot of experience before I had even hit, you know, 18 years old. I was doing, I was already involved in the silliness. And I use it now to obviously, you know, speak against some of the things that I used to participate in, even, you know, with Obama, me campaigning for him back in, you know, 07, 08 and stuff like that. So it was a learning experience, certainly. But yeah, I'm still technically, you know, a kid by standard, definitely amongst our community of people that are, I guess, known for speaking some of this this beautiful message of property rights and non-aggression and self-ownership. I'm certainly young in comparison.
Well, let me tell you something. You are an absolute gem. We are very, very fortunate to have. I'll say that.
Appreciate it.
Where should people – now, I'm going to link to everything at tomwoods.com/887. We'll get your website. We'll do Twitter. We'll do all that stuff, Facebook, so that people can connect with you in all sorts of different ways. And I'm going to link to where people can order the album so that it benefits you the most. So we'll have that link as well. Anything in particular that I might be overlooking? Do you want Backwards Music? And of course, it's Backwards, BACKWORDZ. Do you want BackwardsMusic.com? You tell me what you want linked there, and I'll put it there.
Right. Yeah. BackwardsMusic.com is our actual, you know, website. So for the people that want to keep, we just got off a tour, but for the people that want to keep up, definitely on our tour stuff, they're going to want to go to BackwardsMusic.com. to stay up to date as far as what we're doing. But if it's regarding the album, backwards.merchnow.com is going to be the better site, because again, that has all the merchandise essentially. And you can get some merchandise from backwardsmusic.com as well. But the Merch Now site is going to have the merchandise surrounding the album, which is really our focal point right now.
Well, thanks for your time, Eric. I hope you guys keep on crushing it. I'm glad to hear about your good news. I hope we have even more good news to come.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you having me. It's always a good time, Tom.
All right, let's talk about a couple of fun things here. Few fun things. May 20th, 2017, great event the Mises Institute is putting on in Seattle. So you're going to enjoy that. And by the way, you'll get a kick out of this. I've got two escape rooms set up for my supporting listeners who want to attend. I've got two slots left as of this recording. Two slots for the Escape the Carnival or whatever, the Midnight Carnival one. But I've also got one. This one's totally booked. And it's called Trapped in a Room with a Zombie. Now, if you know my Interview with a Zombie video, you know how beautiful that is. Bob Murphy's going to be with me. And 12 of us are going to attempt to escape the Trapped in a Room with a Zombie room. So that's going to be great fun. But the Mises event, May 20th. Find out the details, tomwoods.com/events. I got to get some of my other events up there. I think that's the only event I have posted. I got to get to that. Anyway, that's the first thing. Second thing is tomorrow's episode is going to have Mike Daugherty, who is a New Jersey state senator and was the co-chairman of the Trump campaign in 2016 here, and who has come out just with guns blazing against the Syria intervention. So I thought that would make an interesting conversation. So that's coming up. And then finally, you'll never believe another listener has created a website. Would you believe that? There's another one. There is yet another one. And this one is actually a business. Yes, I'll even promote your business website. I don't care. You know, as long as you use my link, as long as you're not doing anything, shady and underhanded, then sure. How about this? It's the Tin Society at tinsociety.com. And what's it about? It is a monthly subscription of pipe tobacco and pipe smoking accessories. Each month, he says, we help our members explore new and exciting blends of tobacco. Whether you're just beginning to smoke a pipe or have smoked for years and would like to be introduced to new blends, the Tin Society is where you belong. So how about that? That's politically incorrect. So tinsociety.com is the website. I'll link to that at tomwoods.com/887. Of course, you get a nice boost from me when you get your web hosting through my link, and you get all kinds of awesome bonuses to help get you running out of the gate. How do you get those bonuses? Check them out at tomwoods.com/publicity. I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.